Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of On a Heater Podcast featuring myself, former professional in hockey and basketball, game photographer Dashing, and my good friend Kiwi. We are two idiots blundering on about sports. Hello, Kiwi. How's it going?
I'm doing well, and a little surprised to get us started. There was so much news this week that we will be splitting this episode into your normal weekly Friday release, as well as our bonus day release that will be on this Sunday. So make sure you listen to both of those as they release. You don't want to miss any of the topics we cover. We'll also be adding a new segment to this episode, the Friday episode. So I hope you're excited for that too. But enough of all the business nonsense. Let's get into it.
Do you like the Hazagaria?
Hazagaria.
I felt like, you know, last week when I screwed up, you know, saying I might as well just lean into it,
lean into
the Hazagaria.
Hazagaria.
I feel like a pirate when I say Hazagaria. Anyway,
now I'm just thinking about alligator bear.
You know, that's acceptable. But what you should be thinking about are all these freaking injuries.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no kidding.
Side note, you know, we were thinking about how to do this episode pretty early on. We were like, we might need to do a second episode this week, because, like, there are so many injuries. It's insane.
Yeah. So normally it's, like, our notes for each week are, like, a page and a half, maybe pushing it,
yeah.
This was like straight up like two full pages. Yeah. So we were like, yeah, we're gonna have to split this up, and
we were pushing on the 3 pages for this episode's notes.
It's a lot for this week, guys. It's a lot.
Yeah, so we were bracking our brains, and we're like, I don't think we get out of this without having to make a second episode. But here we are, first episode of two, first one Friday if you're listening to this right now, and then look forward to Sunday, like Kiwi was saying before. But man, speaking of injuries, coming back from injuries, Alec Bohm, Phillies third baseman, all-star third baseman, coming off of the IL. honestly, 10-day injured list, you know, it's always, I feel like, uncomfortable when you're on the injured list and you're not put on like the long-term IR or something, because it's like, ooh, is there something extra going on here? Why is he put on like such a low list? Is it just a calf strain? Like, is it really just a calf strain, or, you know, what he went left hand strain is what he went on there for? But even still, it kind of makes me worried.
Right. Yeah. Like, the 10-day is always like, okay, is this actually just an injury that they just need a few days off to get recovered from? Or is this like, Hey, we're testing the waters to see if this is something serious, you know?
Right.
Like, you never know, but turns out it was just a minor thing for him. So glad for that. And I mean, definitely Philly needs him back. They're making a big playoff push, so need him.
Big time.
This time of year, for sure.
And I mean, in his comeback game, it was a little shaky, but I mean, you know, for the first time since September 3rd, when he was out, since, you know, he went 1-for-4, he had a single in his return game. The Phillies beat the Mets 2-1 in that game. In the last 7 days, he's had 3 games played, 11 at-bats, 2 hits, which is a little iffy, but he's got a home run out of it. And 1 RBI, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. So,
right. So obviously it's not the injury that's the issue right now. It's kind of just literally
mechanics.
To make a little pun here, it's getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
Where he's just a little still, he's just off from having a few days off, and you know.
And I mean,
got off that hot streak, and now
to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt here, they were playing the Brewers, and I mean, it's a pretty good baseball team, so.
Yeah, I mean, the Brewers and Mets are both strong right now, so definitely some teams that, honestly, he might have batted the same way against had he not been on the injured list just a few days ago.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, through and through, I give it to him, you know, but I'm glad that he's healthy, considering all the things going on, like the Blue Jays shortstop, Bichette. Season's over. his season's over. He broke his finger, which I mean, you know, you say, well, you broke your finger, but for a shortstop, that's kind of a needed appendage.
Right. So, yeah. So he just came back from the long-term IR, and obviously with a broken finger, there's a lot of recovery to that, and he has not been doing super well since his return, which I believe was Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think he might settle in for the last couple of games, but at this point, you know, it's kind of just, oh, he's up here to boost morale for the team and get him through the rest of the season. Toronto's going to the playoffs, right? They're in the hunt.
I think they're in the hunt right now. They are just below the Red Sox. They're 5.5 out as of today.
Well, actually, no, they're 7 out. You're looking at the Rays.
Oh, I am looking at the Rays. So
the Jays aren't making it. He's just trying to make it through the rest of the season with the team, just a little morale and kind of just finish strong and get as many games in as they can. So.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, 7 out, 5.5 out, whatever. But, you know, he just had a calf injury when he was out for more than 8 weeks. He just broke his finger. Just shut him down for the year. Come back next season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, they might even be doing this as like kind of part of his physical therapy recovery from it, you know, just limited reps.
Quite possibly.
However they might be doing it, you know, just telling him, hey, you know, play your game, but don't go too hard. You know, we don't want you getting re-injured. So could be possibly that. Could just be having a, you know, whatever. Mm. It might be just in a bad streak. And you know, speaking of bad streaks, Craig Kimbrel designated for assignment.
Time with the Orioles are done.
So I don't know if you, I'm sure you remember this, when he played for our Red Sox and the Braves before then.
Yep.
He was regarded as the best closer in the game at the time.
He was a beast.
One of the lowest ERAs. It was most of the time any below two. Some seasons it was below one. He just a phenomenal player for many years, and really just fell off.
You want to hear some gross stats?
When we sent him to Chicago.
You want to hear some gross stats from this season?
Hit me.
In the last 11 appearances, he is a 13.94 ERA.
That's disgusting.
The right-hander this season alone, 5.33 ERA and 6 blown saves.
That's just disgusting. I mean, this is his second worst ERA year, and he's had twice as many games as he did that worst year. Mm-hmm. So to say something like that's just, he's not it anymore. I foresee maybe a retirement coming from him soon.
Honestly, putting up those kinds of numbers in, you know, not for nothing, but like the Orioles are going to be a wild card team. They're making it to the playoffs. You know, they're sitting right on top of that wild card standing. You know, they're going to make it in. So and it's like,
what do they do now? They don't have their closer anymore.
Exactly.
They just designated him for assignment. So they got to find somebody, probably like a seventh inning guy. But they're like, hey, you got to get us through the rest of the season and the postseason, you know, because it's too late now for Kimbrel's them to gone. Find somebody. I mean, the trade deadline's gone, and I doubt they have anybody else just in the minors ready to go that they want to throw into the playoffs. So it's going to have to be like a seventh, eighth inning pitcher.
Probably.
That's going to have to cover. Just like that switched for us whenever we had him in that 2016 run.
Yep.
He didn't close for us in the playoffs.
Nope. No, he didn't.
That was
the close by committee season, wasn't it?
I think so.
I think that might have been it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of just whoever was feeling it for the night, we gave him the ball.
Yeah.
You know? And then the next season, he came back pretty well for us. I mean, 1.43 ERA, that's pretty good over 67 games.
Right.
And then, you know, he started to fall back off again. We traded him to Chicago, and that's when he had his worst year.
Yeah.
Was that first year in Chicago.
And now he's doing this with Baltimore. It's like, man, when do you call it quits?
Yeah. I mean, he's been on the team carousel since we got rid of him. Chicago, LA, Philly, Baltimore, both Chicago teams actually, which should say something. At 5.09 with the White Sox, by the way. That's about their whole bullpen's ERA.
Right now. Right now might be a little worse.
No kidding. So, it's sad to see because of how good he was early in his career.
For sure. And I mean, players fall off all the time, so I'm not like super torn off about it. So, I mean, he had a good career. He's not a Hall of Fame guy in my opinion, but good little career, great job in his time playing. Just call it quits. You made your money. Go do whatever you're gonna do in post playing career. Maybe he coaches somewhere.
Yeah, honestly, I could. He would be a very good bullpen coach or anything like that. So definitely, I could see him landing a pitching job or a coaching job somewhere in the pitching side of things. Maybe I don't know what his management skills look like, but if he's got those, then definitely like a management
Alex
position
Cora is
somewhere or
doing
something.
great in that kind of role post
Yeah,
playing.
so there you go.
So, talking about leaving, a little bit of weird leeway here. Jose Altuve showing the dogs for free.
This is maybe my favorite news from this game, I gotta be honest.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I put on our notes for the week. I was like, oh, fun news, for baseball a little later on. And then I saw that you had put on here Altuve was ejected for showing his feet, and I was like, bro's giving feet pics for free during a
Yeah.
game.
So did you see the video?
No, I didn't actually watch the whole
Okay.
video, but
So he was arguing with the umpire after he struck out. And or yeah, he struck out, right? Because he got hit. He got hit by the pitch. But the umpire called it a strike because he swung. And then the Baltimore coach or that I'm sorry, the Houston coach comes out and he's just like he's separating them. He's yelling at the umpire, like, "Hey, what the heck are you doing? Like, this clearly hit him, whatever." And in the meantime, you see Altuve go off to the side, and you're like, "What the hell is he doing?" And he's unlacing his cleat, and he takes his cleat off, and he takes his sock off, and Mans walks over barefoot to the umpire and starts pointing at his foot. He goes, "It's right here! It's right here! You could see where it hit me!" And the ump just goes, "Shut the hell up!" and just throws it. It's so funny. It's so funny.
My God. We'll have to look at that clip after the
Oh my
after
gosh.
we're
Yeah,
done
make sure you
recording
go
today.
watch that
Oh
clip
my
because
God.
it's so funny. It's so funny.
I'll have to check that out. That sounds really fucking hilarious, actually.
I saw the news and I'm like, what the heck? He took out why he got ejected for showing his feet? And then I open up the video and I'm like, oh, this is just
Gold.
actual
That's
comedy
good.
gold. Yeah, that's
Al
oh, too funny.
Altuve getting it done. For all those feet lovers out there, not kink
No,
shaming.
literally, that's just hilarious. But oh my
Holy
gosh,
crap.
speaking of getting it done,
Ohtani,
we're talking about him
bro.
again.
I mean,
We're talking about him again.
how can we not talk about Shohei Ohtani? Because I was literally, pulling up, my news to talk about today's, news that we had written down, and I was like, Ohtani stole another freaking base. Are you kidding me? He's up to 50 stolen bases right now, just shy of 50-50 club territory. He's gonna get it. He's gonna get it.
Yeah, two home runs, and they still have a handful of games left. So, I mean, it's very possible. I don't know how many easy teams they have coming up in their schedule, but
I mean,
it's very possible.
I think it's gonna be a piece of cake because, bro, they got a slew of not too terrible teams here. They have the Marlins right now. They're playing the Miami Marlins, which he just got his 50th stolen base. They're
49
playing
and 50.
their yeah 49 and 50. They facing the Rockies, facing the Padres, facing the Rockies.
Okay, so those Rocky games, for all of you folks that stay tuned for our DraftKings segment and whatever, if you those Rocky games are going to be the time to take maybe And over 0.5 home runs. A little dip on that. Couldn't tell you what day. You're gonna have to look at the pitchers he's matched up against, probably for your best odds there. But the Rockies are not great,
No, the
so
Rockies are a rough
that's
go.
definitely the games you're gonna want to take them. You're not gonna want to take them against the Padres.
Yeah. Definitely, if you're a betting man or woman, definitely record those home runs against the Rockies, because I'm telling you right now, it's probably coming.
Yeah. And honestly, to be honest with you, also, this the rest of this Miami series and the San Diego series, I'd be looking towards the stolen bases. I don't think just because he got 50, he's gonna
Well,
stop. And those are
Miami's
gonna be.
done today.
Oh,
Today is the last
okay.
Miami game.
So for those Padre or those Padres games, yeah,
Yeah.
I would definitely look into taking those stolen bases because he's not gonna stop stealing bases, especially since it's gonna be against a good team.
No, for sure.
So I would definitely look into the stolen bases for the Padres, look into the home runs for those Rocky games.
And they're probably gonna be wanting him to do that because it's gonna be, maybe a little playoff seeding too.
Right, exactly,
You know?
exactly. So
It's like where do the Dodgers line up, So the Padres are 87 and 66. The Dodgers are 90 and 62. So that series is going to be massive for those two teams because that could decide who wins the division.
yeah, is that a three game or a four game series?
Three game series, and the
Okay.
Padres are back 3.5 games.
Yeah, so I don't know what the tiebreaker situation. Well, actually, yeah, if they're back 3.5, that means they still have an extra one to play. So if they win this one, and then they. I don't know what the tiebreaker looks like, but at minimum, win two games against the Dod take the series against the Dodgers. The Padres very well could finish in first for the division over the Dodgers. So that's going to be a
If
big series.
they beat him out,
So
the
definitely, yeah.
which the Padres have a little bit of an easier time. They get 3 games against the White Sox. Here we go, talking about the White Sox again. So they get the White Sox for 3 games, which they're gonna wash that series down. So there's your catch up on 3 games. So the Dodgers got to keep up against the Rockies. Then they get the Dodgers for 3 games, and then they get the Arizona Diamondbacks for 3 games.
Yeah, so it's going to be a close race.
We're going to be
And
coming down to
obviously
the
we're,
wire.
yeah, obviously we'll expand a little bit on it once the dust kind of settles and we start getting into the playoff series and we do our predictions and whatever. We'll kind of do a little bit of end of season recap with the, last few games or whatnot.
For sure.
Especially if the Padres end up overtaking the Dodgers.
That'll be crazy.
So,
That'll be crazy. Because
yeah,
the Dodgers,
definitely.
I think, pretty sure the Dodgers were my finals predictions for MLB finals. I believe I had
I
them in the
think so.
finals.
I think so. Did I say the Padres too? We'll
We'll
have to go back and
have to go
look
back
at
and
that.
look after for next
Or
week or for the
if you're on
playoffs.
YouTube, let us know in the
Yeah,
comments.
let me know, because I'm stupid and I don't remember.
Yeah, no kidding. You guys will be able to find it probably way faster than we would, so.
Oh shit. Anyway, but yeah, speaking of we were just talking about fun news with Jose Altuve. I put this on here, literally labeled it, "This is some fun news." The San Francisco Giants, Heliot Ramos, became the first right-handed batter hit a home run into McCovey Cove over in San Francisco. They didn't win. They did not beat the Padres, who were also just talking about 4-3, as they beat the Giants, but first right-handed batter. I thought it was a really pretty cool bit of history right there. Pretty cool little thing going on. I didn't realize that righties were that bad
Yeah,
in
so
San
I guess I didn't
Francisco.
realize that it was that hard for right-handed hitters to hit it into the cove like that. Obviously, I'm sure, having said this, that lefties do it all the time. And it must just be the positioning of the stadium, I'm assuming. But yeah, so that's pretty impressive. I would assume that's like an oppo type situation.
I saw the home run. It was actually really impressive. He hit it 394 feet, like opposite field drive. It was insane.
Yeah, so that's crazy. But yeah, congrats to him making a little bit of history, the first righty. We'll see if we, I guess, see some more in upcoming with all these new kids that are
Yeah.
just insane.
Yeah, there was been so far there's been 167 homers by left-handed batters this season. 104 of them were Giants players.
That's
So,
crazy. That's crazy.
yeah, no righties. But now there is one. So I don't know. I just thought that was a little bit of fun news to share and tell.
Yeah, and a little more fun news. So everybody's not going to know this about me. So a little fun fact. Before I was a big diehard Red Sox fan, when I was a kid, I was actually a Cardinals fan growing up in Cardinals territory. So it's cool to see that Matt Adams is signing a one-day contract to officially retire with the Cardinals.
And you know he had a nice little career, 500 games with the Cardinals from 2012 to 2018. He did pretty good. He still lives in St. Louis, so it's nice to see that he was able to go home and sign a one-day contract, retire with his team and his home, and just be comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I was kind of moving out of my Cardinals phase, I'm still a big Cardinals supporter, but whenever I was moving out of my Cardinals phase, that's kind of when he was coming in, so I got to see a little bit of him before I officially transitioned over. But yeah, I mean, great guy, good player, nothing bad to say about him. So I'm glad that he did that. Kind of almost pulled the Albert Pujols move. And you know, I know Pujols played his whole last season with the Cardinals, but yeah, it's just really, really cool to see something like that. I like when they do that kind of stuff.
I also do. I love seeing, like star players or just like big name guys, like career guys who take a few seasons, go other places, sign those one day deals and go home to where, it all began and, end your career where it started or, you spent the most meaningful amount of time.
Right, exactly. So,
But talking about meaningful time here, Kiwi.
here we go. This is
Oh
the meat of this episode.
When we were writing this out, and I was still thinking that we were gonna do this in all one session, like one solid episode, still keep it in that hour 10-ish time frame that we've been sort of nailing these last few episodes. I didn't realize how meaty this section was until it was sort of like laid out in front of me earlier today, and you were like, should we do this in two episode sections? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because just leading off here, Christian McCaffrey, San Francisco 49ers star running back, 4 weeks on the IR.
Yeah, so let's just kind of rapid fire through these real quick, and then we'll come back and give our thoughts on each of them. So, as you said, McCaffrey 4 week IR, Bates for Chicago 4 week IR, Nacua for the Rams extended to 5 to 7 weeks IR, Cup for the Rams expected to miss multiple weeks, which I think they're saying 4 to 6 now for him.
I believe so.
Pacheco for the Chiefs had his surgery, is out 6 to 8 weeks. More on that, especially that one later. Debo Samuel out, I think he's 2 to 4. And Bentley for the Pats, torn pec, could miss entire season. Hollywood Brown for the Chiefs, injury worse than previously thought, out for the season with surgery, possible career ending on that. And then everybody knows about Tua from this past week, so which he is out a minimum of 4 weeks as well. So yeah, that's just it's that's the injury list. And I know that we missed a couple of like more, you know, secondary, tertiary players that just minor injuries here or there. You know, we didn't want to go into all of those. So there's a lot of those as well for respective teams. But these are all the major ones. And that's like what, almost 10, if not more.
That's just about done right there.
That's just
So
crazy.
that so take that as you will. up and down the list, you know, McCaffrey, Bates, Nacqua, Cup, Pacheco, Samuel, Bentley, Brown. Yeah, I'm like, huh, what, are you,
Yeah, no kidding. How do you think you, how do you think that guy's fantasy team feels right now?
Oh my God. Yeah,
if you guys
send
haven't
you,
seen
send
that,
that
picture circulating around of one of the, I believe he's a, like an NFL reporter, his fantasy team, the entire starting lineup is
all out.
Out or doubtful. Yeah. So, it's just... It's
and these
crazy.
aren't like, you know, low grade guys either. These are like stars on each of their team, which is
like
crazy to me.
Yeah, like this is like these are like the bigger names. Like we wanted to really go over the bigger names. I mean, obviously McCaffrey being out for San Francisco and Debo Samuel, that's just huge for that offense. Like, oh, that was. I just remembered something. We'll get into that later. That's huge for them. I don't think that they can afford that right now.
So the one name on here that I did want to talk about a little more is Cooper Kupp. So because Kupp is expected to miss multiple weeks, somewhere in that 4 week range, the reason that he's not on the IR yet is because his injury might line up with their bye week, which is pretty early in the season. So he could wait out those few weeks and then get an extra week free because it's a bye week. So we might not end up seeing Cooper Kupp on the IR. It's still possible he gets on the IR, but you know, they just, the Rams themselves just put Jonah Jackson and their safety, John Johnson III, on the IR as well. So,
As well as Nacua.
As well as Puka. So, you know, you add three people right there, bang, 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 right on the IR. It's like, holy shit, you know, we're going to put Cooper Kupp on there as well. Let's maybe hold off to put him on the IR. Because when you put somebody on the IR, you can't just like, oh, you're on, you're off, you're on, you're off. You know, there are... you know, steps that you need to take. There is a certain amount of time that they need to be away from the game for the IR to, you know, function. And it's, I think it's the right move to not put Cooper Kupp on the IR and to just sort of let him heal and just bring him back maybe after the bye.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I mean, they're going to be without Nacua until past that bye week. I don't know how long the other players are out as well, but it's definitely something. And who knows? He might, you know, heal up and be ready to go the week before bye week.
Right.
Who knows? It could be anything. I mean, as we said in the past, professional athletes heal at an absolutely
insane
rate sometimes. So it's very much, we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough blow,
you know,
for the Rams, definitely.
It is a tough blow. I mean, they have a week six bye, like I mentioned. So, like, you know, it's super early in the season. So I think using that as, like, a reset point for Kupp, for potentially, I mean, you name it, you know, those other two as well. Johnson and Jackson, you know, hopefully, you know, they're able to come back as well. But I mean, like you mentioned, Puka is definitely going to be post bye week, so that'll be a little tough for them, but they should hopefully get him back around like the Seattle or Minnesota game.
Yeah, hopefully for them, hopefully for the Rams. I mean definitely don't expect them to win a lot of games right now. And
no,
that's tough.
And they're already starting 0-2. They're already
0-2. So, I think... Oh, shoot. Did I take the Rams for my division winner for that?
I don't remember.
Ooh. If I did, this is not going to play out too well. Well, who else could it even have been? Yeah, I took the Rams.
I think you did.
I did. All right, well, I'm looking for a strong second half from them. So... And maybe a couple of lucky wins here and there on the way. So, yeah, I mean, so that's the Rams. That's the 49ers moving into Kansas City here, I mean, Pacheco out with that fractured fibula. Surgery went well, so that's great. Mm-hmm. They were worried that it might not go super great and might be a longer recovery, but went well, so 6 to 8 weeks for him. And then Marquise Brown, I mean, that's tough.
That is really tough.
That's tough. I mean, he was basically, he's their best receiver.
He's basically their receiver.
He's like one of two that can catch the ball, you know?
The earliest that he can come back right now is January, like late January. So right in time for the playoffs for them. But there's a chance that he doesn't.
Bring him back,
you know? I mean,
or do you maybe off and make sure he gets a whole offseason under him?
Well, maybe you do. Maybe you bring him back for the postseason just because they might need him. Honestly,
I guess it's a little different for football. Like when it comes to hockey injuries, right? Like sometimes you don't want to bring that person back right when they're feeling good because it jumbles up your lines, and if you're on a hot streak, whatever, you know, you don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
But when it's football and it's just, you know, oh, one game next playoff round, then it's a little bit different, I guess. So
right.
Yeah, possibly could see him, you know, come playoff time. Obviously the Chiefs are going to be there
the way
regardless
they're
of how many people are out on injury.
Yeah.
So, but going back to Pacheco a little bit, interesting development with him being out 6 to 8 weeks, the Chiefs re-signed Mr. Bad Boy to their practice squad.
Oh God. Kareem Hunt back on the practice squad. You know, I have zero issues with Kareem Hunt right now. I used to like, not particularly enjoy him in the league just because of his out of team actions that he's so carelessly committed, but you know, it's fine. You know, he's a little older now. He doesn't seem as crazy to me anymore, but the Chiefs, you know, they have rookie Carson Steele and veteran Samaje Perine on as the running backs right now. I think they're doing a pretty good job. I do think Kareem Hunt is better than those two, and I think that he would be a significant upgrade to those two. But I also think, you know, on a heat or hot take, running backs aren't all that hard to find. So if you can get a guy who can see a hole and run through the hole and run downfield just fine, you got him. The amount of guys that just run into a line and don't even open their goddamn eyes blows my mind.
It's crazy. I mean, it's not hard just to take a half a second just to look before you go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I don't think Kareem Hunt's that good anymore.
He's definitely fallen off.
He's definitely fallen off since his Kansas City years, but even more so in the last, like, two seasons with the Browns. I think he was running, what, second or third string for that? Well, it must have been third string.
Yeah.
At the end, because he got cut.
Yeah,
so,
he was.
But
I mean, do they even really need him? Because like Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be back probably week 5. So I mean, you could probably just ride out Steele and Perine for a week, right?
And I think that's really what this is, probably, is just a little bit of backup just in case another one goes down, which would be insane to have three of your running backs down.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think that's just what this is. He's just there just as a kind of like a safety net kind of situation. Once the other ones come back, then they'll cut him and that'll be it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, even as a practice squad guy, though, probably a nice little piece to add. I'm not upset over it. I'm not sad over it. You know, whatever. I think it's just a good get, you know. Is what it is, as an insurance policy of all of these injuries going on. But speaking of injuries, I did want to talk about something, and we put it on here, you know, even though it was the elephant in the room of injuries, Tua concussions. Should he retire?
I really thought when you hesitated there that you were going to attempt the last name.
Not at all.
I was just going to sit here and wait, because he's been in the league for what, 3-4 years now? I still have no idea how to freaking say his last name.
Tagovailoa.
I'm not even gonna try.
Tua Tagovailoa.
It's Tua.
I think
it's Tua.
Yeah,
just... it's Tua and whatever his brother's name is that's escaping me right now. but
I think it's, I don't know, man. Tug of Viola or something like that. You had like emphasis on it. I don't remember.
Yeah, something like that. This is tough because, like, well, first of all, you know, who am I to seal a professional football player's fate? You know,
right?
But obviously, that's not why we're here. Nobody cares. We don't care about that. We're here to give you our opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's tough. I think he's stupid. I'm gonna start with that.
Okay.
He didn't learn how to protect himself correctly.
No, he did not.
And he fully had the opportunity to wear a Guardian helmet this year and chose not.
Absolutely did. And I think the Guardian helmets, you know, at first, you know, when they were introducing them, I thought they looked a little silly. But seeing them in game, I haven't even noticed them. And people
with the with the cover over them, you don't notice them unless they're really like highlighting the player in the video, like in the stream. Yeah. You know.
You don't notice them.
And even then, honestly, if it's windy or anything like that, it blows a little air under them, you don't notice. They puff right up like a normal helmet.
Yeah.
So it's
they look great.
I don't think they look bad at all. Yeah.
They look great.
The covers they designed for them are fantastic. It blends them right in. Mm-hmm. Nobody really notices. To all the fans that are there in person, you would have no idea.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't.
Unless you
have
binoculars or something. So why?
Yeah, why?
And you're a high risk. You've had, what, this is your fourth now. You've had three since you had been in the league. Before the Guardians came in for the full season.
I don't know if I don't know if you saw the video of this latest one. It was not pretty.
The angle?
Yeah, the angle not just the angle. You know, when he hit Damar Hamlin in the chest, and he flipped over, you saw his hand sort of like grip up. And there were some like neuropsychologists out there that were basically saying, like, when you see somebody doing that kind of hand motions, he lost consciousness. So like he was out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, essentially that's what a concussion is.
Well, right. Yeah. Concussions vary because like I've had concussions in my lifetime.
A multiple concussion
syndrome.
Yes. Someone who's received multiple concussions, that's extremely common for them to black out like that with subsequent concussions.
But if you're at the point where it's that severe, number one, I agree with you. Why are you not wearing a Guardian cap? Because it is stupid to not wear one. But number two, is it really worth it? You have all that guaranteed money, call it quits. Save your life from CTE. Save your life from your family. Like, do you really want to be dying out on that field for an extra, you know, $10 million contract or something?
So I'm going to give you my opinion now.
Okay.
To start off, that money is not guaranteed unless it's actually a medical related retirement. If he is forced to retire medically, that money is guaranteed. If not, he has to reach a deal with the team over what money they're going to pay him.
Yeah.
For an early retirement. Setting that aside, it's tough to say that I think that he should give it one more try, because if that try ends in another concussion, it could very well be his last. But I think that if he gives it one more try, he takes some time off, he learns how to protect himself, and he switches to a Guardian, I don't think I have too much of an issue with him coming back.
I don't think that I do either. If he's protecting himself, if he's wearing a Guardian cap, if he's sliding correctly.
Not diving head first into a freaking corner. Slide.
Slide.
You idiot.
Slide. You're still in field goal range, my guy.
You're not the big running back who dives over the goal line on the 1 yard line for a Super Bowl touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see those guys wearing Guardian helmets, by the way.
No kidding.
You're not that guy. You're the freaking quarterback. You're the most important person on that team. Wear a freaking Guardian helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to slide. And don't be generally just stupid about protecting yourself.
It sucks too, right? Because he kind of just, like, I feel like sealed their team's fate a little bit for the season. You know, he's out for X amount of weeks, and their backup is Skylar Thompson.
If he doesn't make a comeback in the next, you know, like pretty much right after the 4 weeks, I'll give it six, and they don't win any games in that time. Yeah, I mean, that's my freaking, that's my, no.
That's mine.
Did I predict them for the East too? Did I do the Bills?
I think we both did the Dolphins. I don't remember.
I think we both did the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So.
Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. I'm getting upset about this.
Unnecessarily heated. Take a breath, move on to get so overheated over something else, because boy, am I just annoyed. We're just talking about contracts. I'm annoyed. I'm really pissed. Ja'Marr Chase wants to negotiate a deal after the season. He feels misled by the Bengals. My brother, what do you mean, misled? Didn't they offer him a 4/140? Didn't I read that somewhere?
So
what do you mean you were misled?
So I think there's something with that. I think that it came out that maybe that wasn't completely accurate.
Like, you know, I don't know, man. I just, like, you know, I don't mind, you know, players having freedom of, you know, choice on contracts or, you know, choice on where you play and stuff like that. But, you know, when a team offers you that much guaranteed money over that many years, just sign the freaking deal. What do you, like... You are already going to be up there on the upper echelon of, like, highest paid receivers in the league. What are you looking for? What are you looking for?
I don't know. It's just a whole thing. So he called them a disruptive influence. He feels unhappy, frustrated, and underutilized. While they are trying to do this contract talks with him. So he's basically said that he is done talking about it for this season, and they're going to come back to it at the end of the season.
And you know what's even more interesting is he took out a $50 million insurance policy on himself for the season. Huh? you want to run that number by me one more time, Ja'Marr?
like you said, you're pissed off about it. There's some things that we're covering this week that just genuinely make me irritated.
Yeah,
and it's stuff like this. It's like, what are you doing? Just sign a freaking contract and shut up about it. Don't you want to just go back to normal and know that you have money?
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, sign me to a $1 million contract. I'll play in the NFL. I will work out and play in the NFL. I swear to God. You know what I mean? Like,
You could sign me to league minimum and I'd freaking do it.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. Yeah, I'd go play in the practice squad or something.
It's crazy, but some other interesting news, less irritating, that I thought was surprising, but the 49ers came out this week and they said that they attempted to trade for Justin Jefferson in the offseason.
I did see that. And honestly, it interested me, but I'm not surprised that Minnesota decided not to move on Justin Jefferson, because let's face it, he's the best receiver on their team, but not only one of the best receivers in the league, but moreover, he actually likes living in Minnesota. He likes being on the Vikings. He actually came out and said that living in Minnesota, playing for the Vikings, is probably one of the best setups he's had ever, because of how quiet it is, because of how homing it is, and he doesn't feel like he's an idiot out there going to get in trouble in, like, LA or anything like that.
So that's one of the things that I've kind of heard from all the sports, as well as just general public, is that The Twin Cities is kind of like
It's
a
pretty
great
nice.
place to live.
It's not
I've
bad.
never heard really any professional athlete complaining about playing there or living there. And I know some people who have lived there in the past, and they all say they love it. So why wouldn't you want to go play? And the fans are
The
diehard
fans
for
are
all of their teams.
absolutely love their players
Like,
out there. Yeah.
Vikings fans are absolutely nuts.
Yep.
Wild fans are nuts. Timberwolves fans are crazy. Oh, Twins fans. I mean,
Twins fans, oh my God.
Twins fans have had some rough years to sit there and watch
Yeah.
over the past, 20 years or so. And the fact that they stay and they still support their team like crazy is wild. So.
Yeah, my cousin actually lived out there for a little while, and he went to a few Timberwolves games because they were just in the playoffs last year, and he said they are nuts for their team out there in the
Yeah,
NBA. So it's like
it's a crazy sports city to live in.
very
So
cool.
honestly, I'm glad to hear that Jefferson is comfortable there. It's gonna make him, be a great player. I mean, he doesn't have any distractions. He loves playing there, loves living there. So good for him.
But speaking about places that you love to play, how about your places you hate to play? How about we talk about how much we hate the Carolina Panthers as well? Because I mean, I guess hate's a strong word. I strongly dislike the Carolina Panthers. I strongly dislike their ownership. I strongly dislike their GM. I strongly dislike that they are ruining Bryce Young.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just taking him and just snapping all chance of having great talent. I mean, he is a very talented quarterback. Yes, he's not one of the top ones in the league, but he's definitely a solid quarterback that could carry you into playoffs and whatnot if you gave him the support, which, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed, Carolina is not doing. So I know you're tanking your team, you're trying to get good, get good draft picks, get good players in there, whatnot. It takes time. But come on, dude. Like, there's a certain degree of
How much
ruining.
time?
And I'm gonna branch off of this in a minute too,
Yeah.
because it's a similar issue elsewhere in the league. But yeah, I know your defense doesn't suck. Your defense sucks. Okay, that's not Bryce Young. That's a completely different thing. If you want something to focus on in this rebuild, focus on your defense because, as they say, defense wins championships. And if you
Defense
don't
wins
agree with that,
championships.
if you don't agree with
Absolutely.
that, 13 of the last Super Bowl years, I've had a top 10 defense win them.
I will say defense does win championships, but if you're gonna draft a quarterback one overall in the draft that is a very highly rated prospect, you better have a damn good offensive line to protect that kid.
Right, exactly. So yeah, so that's the big problem, right? Who cares if he has anybody to throw the ball to? He can just, float it out there and whatever. Who cares about the defense? The offensive line to protect your star quarterback is the bread and butter of that should be your team. You should devote all of your resources to that offensive line. And the Panthers just aren't doing it. And to branch off of that, who else isn't doing that and who is ruining their number one star overall quarterback? The Chicago Bears.
Right
So don't
now.
even get me started on that because, as you all know, I'm a huge Bears fan. We have the defense. Yes, we have the receivers. Yes. Oh my God, we gave him so many offensive weapons to deal with. But you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to give him the people standing in front of him. Which, to circle back, because we didn't really expand on this too much, our center is out on the 4-week IR. So there's another person that's not protecting him. So don't you think it would be nice to have some guards and some ends in his stead that could protect him? No, we're just going to let him get sacked. We're just going to let him. And he is, did you see the stat that he is the second fastest quarterback in the league right now to get rid of the ball?
I mean, he kind of has to be, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean. His thinking is there. He has those quick reactions. He knows what to do. It's just he has to freaking bail out of the pocket all the time so that he doesn't get laid out on the field and end up with a freaking four freaking concussions like Tua.
Well, I mean, if you not to flip-flop too much here about talk about the Bears, talk about the Panthers, but even more proof in the pudding that the Panthers are trying to tank, they just waived their sack leader.
Oh yeah, we didn't
Their
even. I
defi we
forgot to
didn't
put
even we didn't even
that on there.
talk about that. Iku Leota, their current sack leader, they waived him. So, I mean, you know, if you're going
to... Did he have, like, 7 sacks over the first 2 games or something?
Something like that, yeah. He was that... I mean, he was doing great on that defense, but, you know, if you're gonna intentionally tank, then why on God's green earth are you taking a quarterback, number 1 overall, ruining that kid's confidence just to what? Draft another guy first overall in the following season? You know, it really pisses me off too, because like this isn't the process. We are not the Philadelphia 76ers here. We're not tanking multiple seasons in a row, getting high draft picks each season, and then trying to make a playoff run. Because guess what? The process still hasn't fucking worked.
That doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. You have to have seasoned veterans in there, and you have to have these talented new kids.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a mixture of both. That's the perfect recipe. And then those new kids develop into even more veterans, and then you supplement them with other veterans that you know trade for or pick up or whatever here and there. That's how that works. This is not how you do this, Carolina.
This is not how you do this, Chicago. It doesn't work.
And apparently this is just the get pissed off at football week episode this week. So sorry for ranting, everybody, guys. But to sum it up, I mean, Andy Dalton's going to be their new starting quarterback. I have no thought on that. I mean, it's Andy Dalton.
He's been around
long enough. You guys should have your opinions formulated on him already by then. He's a player.
He exists.
He might win games for them. Probably not. It's still Carolina. He's not. So
that line still doesn't exist. They're still not going to protect him. Andy Dalton.
And he's a pocket passer. Yeah. He's not a rollout quarterback.
He's slow.
He's going to get injured.
If you play fantasy, if you bet on the freaking over on sacks on that team, because he is going to get nailed.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's move into something a little more fun.
Especially because they're playing the Raiders this week. So take that team for the over on the overline, by the way.
On the sacks,
yeah. Yeah, on the sacks.
That's not even an official bet segment.
I think we're pretty well preheated here, Kiwi. But which is a funny little haha moment, because it's time for our preheated primetime preview.
Yeah, so we told you guys we'd come up with a name for it, and Boom. Here you go, we delivered.
There it is.
So the preheated primetime preview. Just for reference,
soon to be 7:30. Brought to you by XXX. Yeah. Insert.
It is 7:35 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday. So the Thursday night football primetime on Prime has not started yet. That's the Pats and the Jets. Who you got?
Patriots. Laying it down. Money line game. Patriots.
Yeah, I am not confident in that Jets offense. I feel like Aaron Rodgers has just basically done nothing to prove that he is Aaron Rodgers of the past.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% agree, and I think the Pats defense is much better than the Jets. So.
I think so too. I feel like, you know, the run game the Patriots have got going on, you know, Ramondre Stevenson over 200 yards in the first 2 games of the year. Insane. I mean, they brought the Seahawks into overtime, which, I mean, we both said that they would beat the Seahawks, but I honestly thought it was going to go either way. You know, because the Seahawks are a pretty halfway decent team this season too already, you know, and I think that says it for itself. The Jets, however, you know, they lost their opener to the Niners, which we all thought they would do. And then they beat a depleted, beat up old Tennessee team. And that was even close. That was 24-17.
Yeah, that was close as well. I mean, they made a comeback drive, actually, to be honest with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So I think
obviously we haven't been doing too good on our Thursday night predictions here, so hopefully we hit one, and we're gonna give you a little bit of a recap.
So far, yes. So far we're 0-2 on Thursday games.
Yeah, our Thursdays are not looking great. So hopefully we hit here tonight on that one. Moving into Sunday.
Chiefs Falcons. What do you got?
On NBC.
Who you got?
I have. Ooh, this is a tough one.
Honestly, I was thinking it was pretty tough too. Calculating. He's calculating.
I'm gonna stick with my guts. I'm gonna say the Chiefs.
Honestly, I have to agree with you. Not because I don't want any differentiating so we can keep close on these records, but mostly because of the fact that, you know, the Chiefs on the road, on prime time, you know, man, that's going to be a hard game for the Falcons, who have been all basically struggling, it feels like. I mean, they had an amazing drive last drive against the Eagles to win that game by 1 point, but it was still a 1 point win against the Eagles.
Yeah, so what it comes down to, and I don't know how much you saw of this, Dashing, but if you guys didn't see kind of the primetime, or I'm sorry, the Manning cast breakdown of that Falcons last drive from this past week, I mean, Peyton kind of broke it down really, really on the nose. Essentially, what was happening was Kirk was within that 2 minute. It was a 2 minute drill to win that. And that is a very consistent thing that you see across all teams.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks understand the 2 minute drill no matter what team you're on.
Yep.
So basically what this comes down to is Kirk is still not comfortable in Atlanta, and he just had a 2 minute drill, which he is comfortable with. That's why they won that game.
Yeah.
So I'm still not confident that he's comfortable yet for Atlanta. I guess we'll have to see this week.
I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a good game.
I still trust Kirk, but at the same time, I think he's still not fully settled yet. So we'll see how that goes.
But we got a nice doubleheader on Monday as well.
We do.
First of two games over on ESPN, Jaguars Bills. I'm not going to lie to you. I was honestly, or pretty early on here, I was thinking Jaguars might sneak a game out here, but I don't think that I can look away from the Bills right now. I think they're playing too hot of football to drop a game right now.
Yeah, and boy, were we kind of wrong in the early predictions of the season with the Bills. We said there wasn't anybody to throw to. And to an extent, we're right.
Yeah.
But we forgot the fact that Josh Allen is, in fact, Superman. And that he can do it all himself and he doesn't need anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I also have the Bills this week. I know this is crazy variety this week. You know, you got to take risks to pull ahead in the standings here but I have the Bills too. I have no faith in Trevor Lawrence. I have no faith in the Jaguars this season. Why would you?
Yeah.
They're the Jaguars. They're always inconsistent. They could pull a win out here. Who knows? But they're going into Buffalo. Obviously, you know, the Bills Mafia is going to be nuts.
Oh, they're going to be insane.
And it's going to be extra nuts because they've been seeing their quarterback absolutely ball out right now.
Trounce teams.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I got the Bills too. I think this is probably the most clear cut out of the three that we've went over so far.
I think so.
But moving into the second of the doubleheader over on ESPN Plus or ABC, we got Commanders and Bengals. This one is going to be spicy.
I think we're going to have a little bit of differentiation here, and tell me if I'm wrong right off the rip, but I'm actually going to go with the Commanders here. I think the Commanders, you know, despite being a 1-1 team, having a really rough game against the Giants, they got no touchdowns, but still won the game. Freaking kicking spree. I feel like Jaden Daniels is doing really well, despite the fact that the Bengals have had two tough first games of the season, and Joe Burrow is absolutely torching it right now. 422 yards throwing, two touchdowns. I feel like things are going bad to worse for the Bengals, and I feel like they're going to drop three in a row here. And I think the Commanders are going to sneak out a win.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give you three names, and you're based off of that, you're gonna decipher what my pick is for this week.
Okay.
Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels.
Interesting.
So for everyone, no one can see this, but he just typed in the Bengals for me.
I did.
So let me expand.
Okay.
I think Joe Burrow is absolutely on a heater right now.
Yes. He is.
And I to even step that further, yes, he has Ja'Marr Chase right now. But God, does he need T. Higgins.
He does, but I mean, you can't discount the fact that Mike Gesicki
is absolutely torching
for them right now, too. 10 but receptions, he 109 yards.
T. Higgins. And solely does he need T. Higgins, because Jamar should not be the only focus on that team. That's why he's playing so bad. He has so many things going on in his head with this contract and with trying to be their number one and basically only other than Gesicki that he's in his own head.
Yeah.
And he can't play worth crap right now.
And I think that's why they're going to lose. I think that's why they're going to lose.
And to go to my third stat, Jaden Daniels, I don't know if you guys have seen. Yeah, touchdown week one on his legs, okay? Week one is his, you know, he's a rookie. Whatever, say what you want. It's a fluke week. It's always this.
Yeah.
Second week, yeah, he didn't have any touchdowns, but did you see his stat line from the game?
Yards, drives, conversions. He's actually on my fantasy team. He was my star. He was my player last week. He went 23 of 29, 226 yards, 79.3 completion rate, sacked five times. He had a QBR of 46.3.
Okay. And that's because he ended up throwing two interceptions, an interception?
No interceptions.
Oh, okay. So no interceptions. So he's got a low QB rating because no touchdowns. And he was sacked five times, which is not his fault most of the time. Yeah. Most of the time, it's not the QB's fault.
I mean, he's also a young guy. He's not supposed to be running, so I feel like
he is learning to be a pocket passer and not force himself onto his legs.
Yep.
I think week three is when he hits his stride. And for that reason, Dashing, you have to change my name
because
I was also on the Commanders train this week.
Okay, all right. A little bit of money magic here. I had to throw a little spice in there
on this one.
Honestly, you know, all right. I see you. But, you know, keeping it interesting, you know, we've been doing this thing, you know, keeping our favorite teams in this so far. Bears and Colts. You want to take a hot guess on that? Got a little bit
Anthony
of split
Richardson
here.
Is very inconsistent.
He is. He's crazy inconsistent.
He could throw for 450 yards this week. He could throw for 100. You know, it's tough. Do we know if... So Keenan Allen should be back this week. Obviously, Rome Odunze is back this week. But we are now at our center.
Yep.
On an offensive line that's already absolute crap.
if it helps, Travis Homer is questionable, Odunze is questionable, Keenan Allen is questionable, Montez Sweat is questionable. So
Odunze will for sure play because he played last week.
Yeah, he'll play.
I would think that Keenan Allen will play since he was basically a game time decision as well.
I think he'll play. They're also playing in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. So
yeah, at Colts.
Yeah.
This is a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I'm going to go Chicago.
Okay.
And not because I'm a Bears fan, but because I believe in their defense keeping Richardson under control.
So I'm going to give you a little opposition here. I do agree that Richardson is inconsistent, but I do think that, you know, they do have some good offensive weapons, and I do think that'll be good enough to overcome that offense and defense, because the Bears offense is so inconsistently bad right now with their offensive line. I think that they're going to be good enough to get a few turnovers, and I think they're going to tire out the Bears defense, and that's where Richardson is going to shine.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Hard decision.
I just don't know what to what to really say about it. I mean, these are both pretty similar teams right now. In the fact that they're just wildly inconsistent, right? So, yeah, I'm gonna stick with my Bears.
All right. Well, that's not a bad choice.
But
But Kiwi, it is time for our On a Heater hot take of the week. And I did want to lead us off here for our On a Heater hot take of the week, and say, this is different than any random time when we say, oh, On a Heater hot take moment or something like that. This is a planned segment. This is going to be a segment moving forward in future episodes. It's going to be its own thing. We're going to be coming up with hot takes just to spout off here. So you can roast us, you can, kill us, you can agree with us, whatever you want to do in the comment sections, do it. Hit us with your hot takes, because my On a Heater hot take of the week, Derek Carr is actually better than people give him credit for. I think that Derek
That is
Carr,
spicy. That is spicy.
I think Derek Carr is criminally underrated. Despite all of those bad seasons that he's had in Oakland and Vegas, pretty damn good in New Orleans so far.
I mean, yeah, to an extent, you're right, but it's wow. That's just, I think he's too inconsistent. And does he doesn't have any playoff experience, does he? Because of being with the Raiders.
I think that they did get in a few times, but it wasn't anything,
Like a wild card type situation.
it wasn't anything meaningful.
Yeah, so
Because
it's just like
the entirety of his career almost, because he came in the league in 2014, and
he's
he's basically been playing second fiddle to Patrick Mahomes basically his whole career.
Yeah, now third, well, not anymore,
Not
but almost
anymore,
was
yeah.
third, almost was third fiddle to Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
So,
And I will agree with you. He has been inconsistent, but was that a symptom of Derek Carr being inconsistent, or was the Raiders that volatile because they were? Was that the reason for his inconsistency? And I think that is more true than the fact that Derek Carr was the reason that they were bad those years. Because I don't think he's a bad quarterback. You can go through the years, you can look at the numbers, and you can see the yards he's throwing per season. He's, pretty early on, he was cracking into the 4K range. Then he was almost cracking into the 5K range of throwing yards. And, last season, he almost threw for 4,000 again. So, it's not bad. It's not bad. He only threw eight interceptions last year. He only has one so far this year, which was a kind of a gimme interception to the Cowboys last week. And, previous seasons, his most was 14 a season, which he did back to back in 21-22. But then before that, I mean, probably his worst years were early on, 2014, 2015, and then again in 2017, where he was up in the 13 range. But other than that, he's been pretty steady Eddie, throwing touchdowns, throwing completions. It's been defenses screwing up. It's been head coach volatility that I think have been holding him back. Not saying he's Super Bowl winning caliber talent, but he's definitely probably a star quarterback.
I can't fully agree with you, but I can't fully disagree with you. And I guess that's what makes it an On a Heater take of the week, right? Yeah, no, I think I think well put. I just I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see what he does in New Orleans.
All right.
That leads me into mine. So my hot take of the week. I actually have a two-parter here.
Okay.
Because I had initial one, but then I had the thought of of a second one while we
Follow
were
up.
talking. My initial one is the new Miami quarterback, if Tua does not return, will be none other than Tom Brady.
They already tampered with him once, so why not again?
Yeah, I think, he just he's not done. I can't believe that he's done. And if he was at all discouraged about his casting career already, I think maybe he sees an opportunity and he takes it. But
it's possible.
I guess there's a lot of dominoes for that to be able to fall into place. But my second little mini one here is San Francisco is not good.
Ooh. I think that they are slightly overrated.
I think they're heavily overrated.
It's heavily overrated. Okay.
I think Brock Purdy is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league and had a insanely lucky season.
Wow. Okay, that's you want to talk about hot takes? I think that's steaming on the press right now.
Don't get me wrong. Christian McCaffrey is a great player. Deebo Samuel is a great player. I'm blanking on their freaking tight end's name for some reason.
Why am I blanking?
George Kittle, amazing tight end. I don't think their defense is that good. And I think their quarterback sucks.
Wow.
I think you could put almost any other quarterback in the league into that system with what they have and blow out every other team. And those are my Army Heater hot takes of the week.
Huh. All right. I respect it. I don't know how to react to this right now.
That's how I felt about yours. So that's what, you know. I mean, that's what they're supposed to be, right? It's a thinker. They're supposed to be a thinker, you know? So,
Okay.
That's my thoughts. That's my thoughts. So,
you know.
Yeah. We'll let you all sit with those as we transition into our bets here.
You know, we're transferring into them right now because we're getting to the sports bets, not brought to you, but brought to you by DraftKings. Not officially brought to you by, not sponsored yet. Yeah, not sponsored yet. Would like to be. DraftKings, sponsor us. Anyway.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, going to the sports bets, we're going to come up with a name for this, so don't worry about it just yet.
Yeah, we're coming up with some catchy.
Some catchy name, you know, like the preheated primetime preview of the week or the on a heater hot take of the week. We'll come up with a fancy name for this, just like we'll come up with, like, some soundbite intros so we can be like, bang, it's time for something.
For the rough few first episodes, but just wait.
We're getting there. So anyway, Kiwi, you want to lead us off in this segment? What you got? What's your bet?
Sure, because I think you've started the last two times or one time or whatever.
Yeah.
This week, I have the Green Bay Packers to beat the Tennessee Titans +124. I actually need to double check that's still the same odds.
The money line, huh? That's not bad.
The money line, yeah.
Honestly, I kind of agree with that money line. I think we kind of talked about it a little bit already today with the Titans, but, you know, the Titans, I feel like they aren't as good as they've been in games. And I think that's been a symptom of, like, who they've been playing, right? They played the Bears and they played the Jets. They played a Bears team that, you know, has just been so grossly inconsistent offensively that it's easy enough to put points on the board against them, you know, because their offense is so prone right now. And then they played a Jets team that just doesn't feel good. That Jets team just doesn't feel good. And I feel like the Packers are playing well, even if Malik Willis ends up being their starter like he was last week. And he did great. I thought he did great last week.
Yeah, so side note, it has dropped down to a +120. Still just about the same, pretty good. And a little, since I just had the one little money line here, I'm going to toss you another money line that way. We talked about it a little bit. Bears are +105 over the Colts for this week. So if you're interested in taking that one as well, I definitely think that's one that could pan out either way in your favor.
All right. And
what you got?
So I actually went with a custom 6-pick parlay. Made one myself. Actually didn't write down the money line on this, but or the plus minus on it. But
while you're going over it, I'll type it up here.
Okay. I can tell you because I just opened up my DraftKings. So it's a 6-pick parlay plus 1411. So KC on the money line, Buffalo on the money line, New Orleans on the money line, LAC on the money line, Tampa Bay on the money line, and Seattle on the money line. So I picked a lot of teams to win on the money. And I feel like, you know, a lot of those teams are, you know, some of the ones that we've already picked already, you know, KC, Buffalo, LAC, you know, some of those teams that we are wanting to win, wanting to see win. And then I felt like New Orleans, they're on a heater right now. Tampa Bay's kind of on a heater right now. And Seattle just came off a really great win against the Patriots. And I'd like to see, you know, that kind of carry over. And I feel like the money line on each of those teams as a custom parlay is going to serve you some good. Again, I'm not betting advisor, so take that as you will. But a plus 1411, that's not a bad payout.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think it's good. I mean, it looks pretty good to me. Who is Seattle playing this week?
Seattle is playing against the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah, honestly, take any of these money lines. They're not most. I don't think any of them are going to be a positive money line. But
the Chargers at the Steelers is a positive money line.
Okay, yeah. So that's a good one to take as well, or separate if you want. But yeah, this overall, I mean, this 6-pick parlay custom that you just threw together here, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
so I definitely.
Looking at some of the. Sorry to cut you off, but I was looking at some of the, you know, like the pre-made, you know, parlays and shit like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make my own.
Yeah, I've been a little too nervous to make my own.
Yeah, I mean, same here, but I was feeling spicy this week, so I figured I might as well toss us a little extra.
You guys will find out on the Sunday episode about a spicy parlay that I took.
Oh, God.
But I think that's going to about do it all for us today for this Friday episode. Make sure you guys, once again, you tune into the Sunday's episode. Mm-hmm. And hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, and again, you know, as always, be sure to check us out. You know, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Prime, wherever you might watch and listen. We're starting to upload YouTube Shorts, TikTok. So, like, you know, go watch them. Give them a like. Give them a comment. You know, be sure, overall, you know, like our videos, like our podcast, like, comment, subscribe, you know, the huge, where applicable.
Yeah, and we're going to be branching out on some other platforms as well, so look for us probably upcoming on TikTok, some more Twitter interactions as well, so be sure to follow us there. That account's already ready to go and buzzing, so get ready for that one. And then we had one more that we talked about. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head.
Just YouTube shorts.
Oh, we're going to do some YouTube shorts as well. YouTube shorts. Keep your eye out for those as well. Actually, the trailer is out for that.
It's on TikTok and YouTube shorts.
It's on TikTok. It's under Dashing's TikTok right now. It will be re-uploaded onto the podcast TikTok whenever we get that up and going. But enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, and we're damn rambling. Be free.